Time After Time. For most of us, the title Time After Time will evoke the 1979 film in which the author H.G. Wells, Malcolm McDowell, travels into the future to capture mass murderer Jack the Ripper, David Warner, who, to his sobering litany of barbarism, has now added time machine theft. But for others, the title is that of a song, the title of which was taken from the film. Time After Time, written by Cyndi Lauper and middle school survivor Rob Hyman, was the second single from Lauper's debut album, She's So Unusual, which has sold 16 million copies worldwide, proving that it's possible to feel unusual en masse. A last-minute addition to the LP, Time After Time went on to become Lauper's first US number one, and in the year 2000, Rolling Stone magazine ranked it as the 66th best pop song of all time. Although how much credence one can give a list that only places the Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way at number 10, I don't know. Certainly, while listening to Time After Time, the fact that you could be enjoying one of 65 statistically superior pop songs barely troubles you. You are rolled up in a carpet of melody and hoisted onto a shoulder of empowerment, bettered only by the Spice Girls' underappreciated Spice Invaders, the implied subtitle for the film Dune. In the video for Time After Time, director Ed 2D's Grills shows us a static caravan, isolated in a wood, prefiguring Top's first post-title frame. Within, Lauper watches the 1936 tearjerker The Garden of Allah, in which Charles Boyer competes for Marlene Dietrich's attention with a series of ornamental vases. Lauper mouths along to the dialogue, so we know that either she's a synth pop savant or she's seen the film multiple times. Her lover sleeps beside her. In movies, and perhaps in life, nothing seems to anger a woman more than a man who can share her bed and sleep at the same time. "Look at him," she seems to say, lowering his core body temperature, repairing cells, consolidating memory, his slack mouth failing to form any words of appreciation, his pallid back a scarcely scalable obstacle to pastures new. Lauper is out of the trailer before she can give her giant porcelain dog a farewell stroke. Her lover, woken out of his disgraceful slumber by the slam of the Winnebago door, dashes out to find he still has time to catch her during her slow walk towards the camera. But it's to no avail. She's already dissolving into flashback. Lauper bitterly recalls a moment in a diner when he failed to actively support her new hairstyle. The moment was public and therefore fatal. When Cyndi Lauper shows you her new hairstyle for peer approval, all you can do is applaud and hope that the resultant retinal damage isn't long-lasting. Her hair is the colour of a radioactive energy drink. Lauper sees no way for relations to continue, though she graciously allows her lover to drive her to the train station. On the platform, she reassures her drowsy paramour that she will always wait for him, right before disappearing in a puff of steam. As the camera cranes up, her lover bows his head in repentance, one hopes, for his inability to know a good haircut when he sees one, but one fears that he's nodded off again. As she sits on the train, moving on to better things, while a single glycerine tear fights its way through foundation so thick it might need its own foundation, the parallels with Top are uncanny. The version of Time After Time in View from the Top is by Katie Cook, and with all due deference to whoever Ms. Cook is, her version can't match the original. Even Cyndi Lauper couldn't match the original. It has since become her signature tune, as sure as my signature scent is spicy. Lauper had the ability to make every yelp sound like a sob, and every sob like a cry of defiance. Without Time After Time, how else would a tired teen drama conclude its 80s-themed prom finale? It would have to use I've Had the Time of My Life, or Billy Joel's The Longest Time. Time and romance are inextricably linked, because as soon as anything starts, it starts to end. Apart from, it often seems, View from the Top. View from the Top feels unending. It's like a dream from which you wake, only to realize you were dreaming that you were dreaming. Which is why the choice of Time After Time is so perfect. It gently speaks, and often squawks, of the cyclical nature of all narrative. When you hear the song, you feel you've heard it before, and you have, because the story's an old one. A lover leaves, leaving nothing behind but generalities. Lorpa promises to catch her lover if he falls, while continually walking away from him. What if, while watching one of her Grammy acceptance speeches, her lover falls over from some unrelated boredom? Is she going to leap from the podium and cradle him before he keels back into Beyoncé? Whenever I fall, it's rare to find a catcher in the receiving position. Purported loved ones won't stop laughing until I prove to them that the puddling blood is mine, and even then it's not a given. When I see someone fall, the only thing I catch is my breath before leaving the vicinity, lest I feel compelled to use up my valuable time pretending to help. Lorpa promises her lover that if he's lost, he can find her if only he'll look. And from the way she looks, like she's wearing everything she's ever owned and will own in the future, it seems like she'd stand out in a crowd. But Lorpa's so short that the crowd would all have to stand out of the way. Mere looking might not be enough. Given how reluctant he is to leave his trailer and how fond of travel she seems to be, he might need to employ a dragnet. Is Lorpa really authorizing a manhunt? All this speaks of the conflict between heart and head. Lorpa's head is trying to work out the logistics of remaining accessible while leaving forever, but her heart can't forgive her lover for how well rested he seems to be. In the conflict between heart and head, Donna is resolved. Head wins. But reject the heart, and it may turn and bite you in the ass, no matter how much of a hard ass you pretend to be.